Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today, the Colorado Springs Telegraph Gazette published our open letter to Dr. James Dobson, in which we ask him to retract the claims of Focus on the Family that this partial birth abortion ruling will, quote, protect children, unquote. That is what Focus on the Family is telling people, that this ruling will protect children. In truth, the ruling affirms partial birth abortion. It affirms it. Where the abortionist has explained in great detail in this 40-page wicked ruling, where the abortionist can pull the baby out of his mother, feet first, halfway, and then kill him. I will quote to you from an article about our open letter to Dr. Dobson, published today by the San Francisco Chronicle. That is an Associated Press article. And also, I'll tell you about two leaders of the pro-life movement. They lead two ministries, and they've contacted me about this letter. And I'll read you an email from one of them, and we'll see if you can figure out what is missing from his email. What's missing? The ruling, this partial birth abortion ban ruling, Gonzalez v. Carhart, says that the abortionist can pull the baby out of his mother, just not past the navel, not past his belly button. And then, literally, it says the abortionist can rip his legs off or kill the baby in a dozen ways. This brutally wicked ruling, celebrated by many of our Christian leaders, Dr. Dobson, and by what is becoming the pro-life industry, this wicked ruling says that the ban does not use the word child, but instead it uses the word fetus, and the Supreme Court justices, they're pleased about that. They pointed out that it's good that this partial birth abortion ban, it's not a ban, it's just a modification, that it doesn't call the unborn child a child, it calls him a fetus. And these are supposedly pro-life justices, and they concur in this ruling optimistically, and I'm quoting here, that the medical profession, that is the abortionist, quote, may find less shocking methods to abort the fetus, that is to kill the baby, unquote. So when you have a late-term baby, an abortionist has to kill him. Our pro-life Supreme Court ruling says, why doesn't the abortionist find better ways to kill the fetus? So you can pull the baby out halfway to his umbilical cord, just not past that, and you can rip his legs off. You can kill him in many different ways. Just don't do it this way, not out of concern for the baby. Every pro-life organization that has already said that in their continuing fundraising letters, they are lying to those who are financially supporting them. There is no concern for the baby in this ruling. The concern is for the integrity of the abortion industry. The concern is that the medical profession will look good as they kill these babies. Okay, now, let me first get to this letter. I said I received emails from the leaders of two pro-life groups regarding this letter. And so here's one, and it's from a Christian guy who obviously we know he loves the Lord and he's against abortion. And he's the head of the Colorado Family Institute. And they're an offshoot of Focus on the Family, but now they're a separate organization. And Jim Pfaff, if I'm pronouncing that right, P-F-A-F-F, I've met Jim. And he emails me and he writes, Bob, sorry I didn't get back with you sooner. Unfortunately, though I know your intent is to see abortion outlawed, your comments regarding Dr. Dobson were wrongheaded, and I do not support them in any shape, form, or fashion. Now, as I finish this letter, just two more sentences, what is missing from this letter? What is missing from it? Okay, he says, Jim says, Bob, your comments were wrongheaded. I do not support them. Dr. Dobson has been on the front line of this issue, and possibly the leading advocate for the protection of innocent life from conception to natural death. All right. Colorado Family Institute proudly associates themselves with Focus on the Family. And that's happened also elsewhere, as reporters have been calling pro-life groups around the country. You know, of course, we know that you do this, and typically people don't say, oh, we're wrong, we're sorry. You know, quite often there's a battle for the hearts and minds of people, especially when they've dug in to something as destructive as moral relativism and humanism and legal positivism among the body of Christ. That's rough to turn around, if in fact it could even be done. But so, what is missing from this letter? What is missing? We love Dr. Dobson too. That's not the point. That's not the point. What is missing from this letter? And I'll let you know. Maybe you've noticed it. What is missing is an explanation of why we are wrong. It doesn't say that. It just says, basically, we love Dr. Dobson. He is such a great guy. Don't you know what he's done for us? Don't you know how he's fought for us? But think about that. Take that standard into the Bible, into Scripture. And what if that was the standard in Scripture? So that the prophet Nathan realizes that King David has done things that are immoral, violating God's enduring command, do not murder. And so Nathan thinks, well, David should be confronted, but he's done so much for us. He slayed Goliath. He's got our whole nation armed again. He's our leader. We love him. I'm not going to confront him. Now, would that have helped David? Would David have been better off if Nathan said, we can't confront David? He's the king. How about the Apostle Paul in the New Testament in Galatians chapter 2? I realize that for many people listening to the show, they'll never have heard the story because it's buried deep within the pages of the New Testament. But the Apostle Paul rebuked Peter. Paul wrote the book of Galatians. And in chapter 2, he said that he rebuked Peter to his face because he was a hypocrite and he was not being truthful about the gospel. That's pretty intense. That's quite a rebuke. And so what if Paul would have said, you know, Peter is basically bringing false teaching into the body of Christ, but he's done so much. I mean, think about it. He was with the Lord for 3 years in the inner circle. Peter, James, and John, he was in the inner circle. In fact, he was the inner of the inner circle. He was Peter. And he was there at Pentecost. He even preached the sermon at Pentecost. 3,000 were saved that day. And he's been arrested for the Lord and beaten and threatened. And I can't rebuke Peter. I can't confront him. No, the prophet Nathan did not come to that conclusion, and the apostle Paul didn't come to that conclusion, and it's fundamentally destructive for human beings who love the Lord to say that someone could reach a stature that he cannot be confronted when he is advocating moral relativism and legal positivism and humanism. Now, I'll put that in as clear terms as I can put it in one moment. But first, think through that. The objections overwhelmingly from Christian leaders and even from people, just people in the street who don't understand. By the way, many people have thanked us for doing this. Many people from all over the country. People who we've never heard of before. But of course, there are people who are upset. And think about the form of that argument. How dare you criticize? How dare you rebuke? Don't you know how good he is? Now, the man I would not rebuke is Jesus Christ. I wouldn't rebuke him. He's God. But when I do wrong, I want to be held accountable, and I want someone to warn me. Someone. And when someone has such a stature that they cannot be rebuked publicly, you are hurting that person. The one you are hurting is not Colorado Right to Life. You're not hurting Judy Brown, who signed this letter, president of American Life League, you're not hurting the Reverend Tom Utener, president of Human Life International, who signed this letter. What do they have, 90 offices in 75 countries? You're not hurting the Reverend Flip Benham of Operation Rescue, Operation Save America. You're not hurting him. You're not hurting me. You are hurting Dr. Dobson because you are giving him comfort in his humanism. Now, let me explain the humanism that has become the standard for the body of Christ in America. And it's happened through the pro-life movement for the most part. Here is humanism. This is moral relativism. This is legal positivism. God gives a law to all of mankind. God gives a law to all of mankind. Thou shalt not murder. That's God's law. That is the foundation of all civil government. That is the bedrock of government. And then human beings get together and they form agreements, constitutions, covenants, and they pass their own laws and their own process. And then some of them are evil, these human beings who have governments and pass laws, and they say, well, you know what? You can kill the innocent in these situations. And then they list whatever they prefer. If somebody's elderly and sick, you could starve them to death. A handicapped four-year-old child, Denver's Children's Hospital, they counseled the parents of four-year-old Dylan Walborn to starve him to death, and that was documented in the pages of the Denver Post. It took 23 days to kill Dylan Walborn by starvation. And you have unborn children who governments say you could kill the children. Some governments say you could kill Jews. And so when a government does that, that is evil because it is rebellion against God and it violates his enduring command, do not murder, do not kill the innocent. So now Christian leaders are raised up to fight that battle, that it is wrong to kill the innocent. Why is it wrong? Not because Congress passed the law or because some Supreme Court justice knows that it's wrong. It's wrong because we are made in God's image and we have a right to life given to us by our Creator. That's why it's wrong. So here's where the humanism comes in. A federal judge gives a ruling that says, no, in New Jersey, I'm going to rule that partial birth abortion remains legal. I'm going to rule it remains legal because that's our process. And there was another ruling, a precedent, and I'm going to uphold that precedent, and I'm going to rule that partial birth abortion in New Jersey remains legal. Now, that is a ruling that violates God's enduring command, do not murder. And the Bible, not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, says, in fact, Peter said, we must obey God rather than man. We must obey God rather than man. Dr. Dobson has written to us about these criticisms, and he dealt with that very ruling in New Jersey that was issued by Samuel Alito, and he commended Samuel Alito. He approved of the ruling to keep partial birth abortion legal in New Jersey because Dr. Dobson said that was what he was supposed to do because he was following precedent. That is called humanism. That is called moral relativism. And in law, that is called legal positivism. And there is no hope for the unborn when Christian leaders have become moral relativists. There is no hope for the unborn apart from standing on God's truth and God's standard. And we are not saying we shouldn't be in the political battle and fight for the laws of the land. Of course we need to do that. The ultimate protection for these children will come when their God-given right to life is recognized in law. But you don't achieve that goal by giving up what it means to be a Christian, which is to honor God above all else. Dr. Dobson has become a moral relativist. He has become a moral relativist and a legal positivist. and what he needs to do. He may not do this, but what he needs to do is to acknowledge that no judge should ever rule to kill the innocent. And when a judge rules to kill the innocent, that is a vile, wicked ruling. Dr. Dobson needs to warn these judges because they are human beings and they have eternal souls. They are not just pawns in a political game. They are human beings, and they're issuing rulings that will destroy them from the inside out. And our Christian leaders are approving them for these wicked rulings. This is not a pro-life ruling. This is an evil, brutally wicked ruling that says partial birth abortion, you can perform a partial birth abortion, just deliver the baby halfway up to his belly button and then kill him. This ruling did not ban partial birth abortion. This ruling regulated partial birth abortion. Pulling the baby out halfway out of his mother is partially born. And they're celebrating over the 4 inches from his belly button to his neck. And the ruling doesn't even outlaw a typical partial birth abortion. All the abortionist has to say is, well, I intended to do a halfway partial birth abortion, but the mother was overdilated, the ruling says. And then the abortionist can take the baby out to his neck and stab him in the back of the neck with the scissors and kill him exactly in the way that Dr. Dobson has described. And from the beginning, our Christian ministries knew that the partial birth abortion ban did not have the authority to save a single child's life. And you know what they've done? That procedure was introduced 15 years ago. And partial birth abortion has become the number one fundraising bonanza of the pro-life industry. The number one. And we estimate that it is easily, conservatively, we estimate that of all the major pro-life organizations that have used partial birth abortion in their fundraising scripts and in their letters, their fundraising letters, and in their programs, giving phone numbers to call and support, partial birth abortion, the ban, has raised at least $250 million for the pro-life industry. $250 million. And maybe somebody thinks that these four organizations, these five organizations that signed this open letter, maybe somebody thinks that we are envious of that money. I can't sense that in any of these. That could be, right? Human beings. But come on, I can't sense that in any of these people. There is a passion to say we have to stop taking things that are wicked and calling them righteous and good and godly. If you have redefined pro-life to mean a ruling that says you pull the baby halfway out of his mother and then rip off his legs, and you call that pro-life, you have destroyed, you have perverted what it means to be pro-life. If the commandant of Auschwitz said, you know what, I don't want to kill these Jews with bullets in the head. The bullets are too expensive. Let's gas them inside the camp. And then the Christians say, oh, he's pro-life. He's pro-life. Look at that. He's pro-life. He doesn't want to shoot him in the head. He wants to gas him. And that's a perversion. It's a perversion of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the gospel is God's law condemns us for violating his standard of righteousness. And it calls us to repentance and to trust in Jesus Christ. And we are going to tell the world that this ruling and these judges are pro-life and that they are godly. We praise God. We praise these five justices. So this open letter now is being edited for a full page ad in a national magazine, a conservative magazine. And also we've been contacted by people in different states who have said, can I run this ad? If I raise the money, can I run this open letter in my hometown newspaper? And I'd like to be a signer. And so we have said, well, we hope first that Dr. Dobson will repent and recognize, with the help of Del Tackett, who's the president of Focus on the Family Institute. Del Tackett produced a teaching tool, a DVD series called The Truth Project. And in there, he warns against the anti-Christian worldview concepts of moral relativism and legal positivism, how they destroy societies. And what Del Tackett needs to do, he needs to fight through this internal battle, because he knows that not only is this wrong, but it is one of the greatest evils when Christian leaders themselves become moral relativists. What will come of the body of Christ? What will come of it? You can hardly find morality these days among young Christians. They don't know it's wrong to sleep with your girlfriend without being married. They travel and vacation together. The divorce is epidemic among Christians. Pornography use. Pastors' daughters having abortions. The morality of the body of Christ is in crisis. And we wonder why the family is in crisis. Our Christian leaders have lost their way. And so I'm glad that the prophet Nathan had the courage to tell David that he was wrong, because if he had not, his selfishness would have helped to destroy David. And if Paul had not rebuked Peter in Galatians chapter 2, that destructive influence that Peter had become, for a short time, he repented. They were reconciled. That was good. But Peter's influence would have brought shame to the body of Christ. And I thank God that Paul had the courage to rebuke Peter. And when you think that a Christian leader should not be criticized if he's doing wrong because he's such a good guy and he's been a good guy for so long, then what you're advocating, and you don't realize it, is that the body of Christ would absorb wickedness within itself, and it just increasingly becomes more worldly and of the flesh. And we cannot criticize our leaders. You know what? I'm the pastor of a small church. I've done a talk show for 15 years, 5 days a week. I value the times in my life where Christians have come to me and have rebuked me, and when they were right. Those were some of the most important times of my life. And those of you who think that you're helping Dr. Dobson by putting out press releases and saying, we stand with Focus on the Family, answer these questions. Does God's command, do not murder, take precedent? Does it? Yes or no? For every government in the history of the world, for every politician and every judge, does it take precedent, do not murder? And then this question. When Samuel Alito ruled to keep partial birth abortion legal in New Jersey, did he violate God's enduring command, do not murder? Did he? And then this third question. When Dr. Dobson commends judges who violate God's command, do not murder, does that mean that he has become a committed moral relativist and a legal positivist? Does it mean that? That is what is missing from virtually all the correspondence I've had in 2 months that we've been working on this Focus on the Strategy 2, the 40 Years in the Wilderness Project at the Colorado Capitol, and now this open letter to Dr. Dobson. All the criticism and objections ignore that fundamental argument that we make. By the way, that DVD is extraordinary. And Jason Troyer, what a job in post-production. The DVD of the event, 40 Years in the Wilderness, presented by Colorado Right to Life, Alan Keyes, Judy Brown, Flip Benham, Bob Enyart. I presented Focus on the Strategy 2. It's available. Just go to their website, coloradorighttolife.org, and you can order that DVD. It will blow you away how powerful it is. And then also you could read the open letter to Dr. Dobson right there. Just go to coloradorighttolife.org. You can email that letter to a friend. You could print it out. You could click and watch Alan Keyes condemn a 28-second clip where Alan Keyes condemns this ruling as utterly wicked. You've got to see that clip. It is so powerful because of the truth in it. Because of the truth in it. And you could send an email plea to Dr. Dobson, and you could sign Colorado Right to Life's pledge. There are 40 years, 50 million dead, one commitment to never compromise on God's enduring command, do not murder. So you could do all that right there at coloradorighttolife.org. Just click on the open letter to Dr. Dobson. And then the San Francisco Chronicle publishing this article from the Associated Press about our open letter to Dr. Dobson. They go through, they explain the full-page ad in Colorado Springs, the headquarters of Focus on the Family, in the Gazette. And the ad said, let's see here. The ad said the ruling encourages medical professionals to find less shocking methods. Yeah, the ad said, that's what the ruling says. But the reporter hasn't read the ruling probably or checked it. And then they quote from our letter, Dr. Dobson, you misled Christians claiming this ruling will, quote, protect children. The court granted no authority to save the life of even a single child, the ad said. It concluded by asking Dr. Dobson to please repent. Carrie Gordon Earle, a spokeswoman for Dobson's Colorado Springs-based ministry, said the group has no plans to change its position on the Supreme Court ruling. The ruling is a step in the right direction on several levels, she told the Associated Press. Well, yeah, you can only pull the baby out halfway and then rip his legs off. So that's a step in some direction, right? I don't know that it's the right direction, though. And she said she was not disappointed by the criticism. That's interesting. Obviously, if someone criticizes you and they're wrong, that should be disappointing. And Carrie Gordon Earle said Focus on the Family had received a copy of the letter in advance, which, of course, they had. She said, from time to time, people disagree, and most certainly criticism is part of being in leadership. We make the best decisions we can and move on. We're asking people to deal with the substance of this criticism, that this is an evil ruling, and we must fight against moral relativism, not adopt it. May God bless you. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, what a great school. By the way, they stand with us too. God bless you guys at Maranatha.